Welcome to The Compliance Files, brought to you by Compliance Institute. The Compliance Files is a unique podcast series giving you access to industry insights and key perspectives on how the evolving regulatory landscape is driving change, bringing challenge and opportunity for compliance professionals everywhere.
I'm Kathy Jacobs, former president of the Compliance Institute and experienced compliance professional, and it's a great pleasure for me to host this podcast. Organizations have for some years been going beyond the mission statement and trying to frame a larger or wider purpose. This is especially so given the rise of ESG and also the explosion in social entrepreneurship. Compliance professionals are involved in ensuring our employers act in our employers' customers' best interest by respecting their data rights and be good corporate citizens through, for example, the prevention of money laundering, terrorist financing and sanctions implementation, and doing all this while making a profit. So what is purpose or purposeful leadership for the compliance function or professional? To help us reflect on personal and corporate purpose, someone who I'm delighted to welcome as a guest, Maeve Monaghan, Chief Executive of the Now Group. Maeve was appointed to the Now Group in 2001 and has been responsible for the development of the organisation over the past 22 years. She has been Chief Executive for the past 14 years and believes passionately in the rights of people with disabilities to have equal access to high quality training and employment. Now Group is a limited company with charitable status, is an award-winning social enterprise that supports 2,000 people with barriers to employment and learning into the workforce. The organisation also operates three successful social enterprise businesses called Loaf Catering, Gage Impact and Jam Card, the profits from which go back into Now Group's work. Loaf Catering is a social enterprise operating five cafes and an outside catering business. Gage Impact supports organisations across the third, private, public and philanthropy sectors in the UK and the Republic of Ireland to measure, evaluate and communicate their social impact. Jam Card is a social innovation developed by Now Group participants. It offers a simple and discreet way of communicating that someone needs just a minute in social or business settings. There are now 110,000 people using either a physical Jam Card or the app on their smartphone. Over 500 businesses are Jam Card friendly, thus displaying their commitment to providing better customer service. Maeve has an advanced diploma in management practices and a master's in executive leadership from the University of Ulster. She was named Outstanding Leadership and Management Leader 2018 Women in Business. Maeve was chair of the Community Foundation Northern Ireland for 6 years and was chair of Give Inc., Ireland's first giving circle, for 4 years. Maeve was awarded an MBE in March 2022 for services to people with learning difficulties and was included in the 2018, 2019 and 2020 Wise 100 UK Women in Social Enterprise Top 100 and highly commended in NatWest's Wise 100 2022 Social Business Leader of the Year. Welcome to the Compliance Files podcast, Maeve, and thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're so welcome, Kathy. I'm delighted to be here and I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
Thanks, Maeve. So if we can start with yourself, can you take us through your career? I know I've just done a little synopsis there, but I'm sure there's a lot more to dig into there. Could you take us through your career up to your leadership of the Now Group?
I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And I think I look back when I was thinking about careers and I realised that when I was thinking about where I would want to work in the future, there wasn't a career as a social entrepreneur. It was never discussed. But what I did know was I liked making money. But I also wanted to do something good with it. And, you know, the stories go right back when I kind of try to trace it back and talk to my mum about this. She tells stories about me bringing people together in her housing estate that we lived in Mahara and, you know, getting them together to sell her mum's handbags and roller boots and hiring out roller boots and doing things like jumble sales and hiring out different things at SodaStream. We did a little cafe as well and generating money. But I can't ever, and this is really honest, remember a time where I thought about actually keeping the money for myself, which seems quite strange. But I think there's just that there's something about core purpose there and values that are brought in from your childhood and your family and a wider community. So that kind of led me into a degree in psychology. And when I exited that degree, I still wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. But I had a family member with learning difficulties, and I had always got an interest in social justice. So I did some vol I've always volunteered, and I think that's a key thing as well, right through my life, and still volunteer with different things. But I then fell into really just nearly probably a year or two out of university into a job with Now Group. It was a very small charity at the time, managing a project linked to Health and Social Care Trust. And if I was honest, they were really struggling to get somebody to do it. And I was approached and asked to consider it, and was successful in the interview. And it was just my experience and my career has grown up inside Now Group. So I didn't have any of the skills I needed to do the job I'm doing now. But as the organization's grown, I've grown with it, and vice versa. So it feels like quite a organic career path, and maybe not a logical one, but I've probably ended up in the perfect place, Cathy.
Yeah, well, it sounds like the universe sent you to the Now Group, and that you've built your own role actually. So yeah, it sounds like it really is innate to you. What are the values that you seek to live as a leader?
I suppose, that first story tells something about that social justice is just in my DNA. I just can't get over the fact that it's not fair for some people. Life opportunities are based on what family you're born into, what country you live in, what level of ability you're deemed to have. So that has always been something that strikes me. So everything I'm involved in, it's about kind of trying to level the playing field. But the entrepreneur in me also loves that collaboration piece. In general, people are good and they want to do good and they want to help most of the time. And I love the value I have is wanting to bring people together to do that. I think on one of my social channels, I found a little sticker once that said, "Let's team up and save the day." And I think that's
Yeah.
probably one of the things
Brilliant.
that I have. So yeah, I would say collaboration, social justice. And as I get, I'm going to say more mature, but really older in my leadership journey, there's a thing about kindness, because I've been told in many different stages of my career, "You're too soft." And I used to take that personally. I think, well, maybe I need to be tougher. And then I realized, no, I am tough. It's just how I do it that's different. So I think kindness is an important thing as well. I think it just makes life easier when you can. So collaboration, social justice, and kindness would be the three that would come front of mind.
And also, I suppose if you were tough at the expense of your kindness, you wouldn't be authentic. And
Yeah, and I
you know,
think
I
my
can
big
see
thing with that.
authenticity is
Yeah.
a very big part of you. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, and I appreciate you saying that. And I think it came out a lot during COVID when we were doing the leadership piece, that people really appreciate vulnerability. So I have
Yes.
no problem saying how brilliant we are and talking about the organization and talking it up. But I think it's really, really important to be honest about
Yes.
things as well. And so, yeah, I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. But what I found is that was a lot of men telling
Yes.
me that. And I have a lot of very, very good male coaches and mentors during the time, but some people who felt threatened or just didn't think I was doing things the way they would do. And that's probably
Yeah.
where I am now. So
Yeah.
you get a bit older,
Yeah.
you take the good feedback and you
Yes.
leave the negative stuff behind, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we could just pivot a bit to the Now Group and what is and who are the Now Group and what is the Now Group mission?
Yeah, so Now Group is a social enterprise, but it's also a registered charity, and we'll probably talk a bit later about that structure piece, because I'm
Yeah.
assuming the audience will be interested in that technical bit. But we were born in Northern Ireland, actually in Belfast, North and West Belfast initially, and we grew across all the Northern Ireland first, and we've now expanded in Dublin with really clear ambition to move and deliver across the island of Ireland over the next 3 years. And we support people with intellectual disabilities, autism, neurodiverse conditions, a really wide bunch of people who don't have to have a diagnosis but will require some form of support. And we support those individuals into jobs with a future. So I focus on engagement, encouragement, developing skills, and then creating opportunities. And we do that across a range of sectors. That includes catering and hospitality would be the natural one, because we also run a catering business called Loaf. But we do it across retail, digital businesses, fintech, retail, hospitality, warehousing as well. It really can be developed to any industry. And then we develop the training programs and the academies. So our participants come onto those academies. We develop them with the businesses, and then they are interviewed, and we hope to move into work. And we've just signed off on our year end, 31st of March. We've had 256 people, participants, into pay jobs with a 93% retention rate on that after 6 months. So we have
Fantastic.
excellent results. I honestly couldn't stress enough how this is a golden time for businesses and people with disabilities to work together to fulfill roles and create more inclusion in the workplace. So the solution-focused person in me knows that there's challenges faced on both sides, but that if we work well together, we can really, really move the dial and get more people with disabilities into every workforce.
And generate a win-win, actually,
Well,
for both.
it's absolutely, and I have to tread this one carefully because there's no point in having rose-tinted glasses. It is a challenge for employers. They're concerned about doing this right. It is a challenge, and there are a lot of barriers for our participants to be recognized and appreciated and valued and seen as equal citizens. So we have challenges on both sides, but the opportunities are definitely there. The thing for me is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You do well with businesses, you support people into jobs, you start people can be it. If they can't see it, it starts momentum. So we've had great success in Northern Ireland. We're starting to do the same in Dublin now, and the need is significant across the island of Ireland, and the population is there and the jobs are there. It's a great opportunity for us, and our key focus is absolutely excellent service for our participants with disabilities and a really, really good wraparound service for businesses as well, because they need a bit of handholding to get encouraged that consider this and then to go through the journey, and a 93% retention rate shows that it's working.
And then coming back to you, Maeve, as a leader, what does purpose mean to you, and why is it important?
I just can't believe that somebody could live their life without having some form of purpose. And I think sometimes maybe people don't call it purpose, but we all have to have something, whether it's faith, whether it's your family, whether it's something that drives you to make a difference. You can't live in a bubble. What you do impacts on the people around you and your community. The purpose for me is that collaborative change piece. And now, yeah, I think I probably carved this role, but being able to do that mix between delivering purpose and utilizing money. Because what I'd always say, I'm in a lot of rooms and a lot of discussions where people are telling me, particularly in Northern Ireland at the moment, with no money and with no budgets and things are difficult, and I get that in the here and now, but there is more than enough money to go around in every society. There just is. There's too much at times. It's how you make it touch the sides. And I think that's probably my bigger purpose, to try to make sure as people should be really successful and businesses should be really successful, but what it's how you bring everybody along. It probably is that piece around social justice and purpose. So that's a bit where making money and making a difference wraps up into what is now called a social entrepreneur. But I genuinely feel that all businesses are thinking about this now, whether you're a social enterprise or a private entity. There's a need and a want to do things right, and people can't afford not to as well. So there's an economic driver along with the social one, and lots of conversations about the future workforce and how they're driven by purpose, whether it's through the environment or social purpose. I think that whole language is changing. But if I can, in every conversation, talk openly about money and how we can make more of it while making a difference, then I think that's my purpose.
How do you bring that purpose to life in the Now Group? And how does that help with your engagement with your stakeholders, and who are your stakeholders?
I'm very, very clear that we have an extremely diverse population of participants and their families, because, in many cases, they play an absolutely pivotal role. So everything that we do in Now Group is designed in partnership with our participants. So you mentioned earlier, Jam Card, for instance, it's had phenomenal success. Actually, those numbers, it's grown so much, the numbers get outdated quite quickly. I think we've got about 159,000 Jam Card users now, and we're working with more significant businesses. So the reason why that works is because I just honestly know that I never have thought of that because it wasn't an issue for me. The card jam, just a minute, is a card for people with any form of hidden disability that just says jam, and on the back it said, please be patient. I have a disability, I'm autistic, I have a condition, I have a brain injury, whatever. So it stops people at their tracks and it gives people just a minute. That's all so simple. But you could never think of that if that wasn't an issue for you yourself. So when I think about our purpose and our participants, I think of working with people who have disabilities to actually find out how you can have the solutions for them so that they can excel. How do you make sure that it's such a positive story about success and progression and opportunity and just changing the whole mindset? I can see people's faces change when I say, oh, I work with people with disabilities. People, they're a bit worried. What's she going to say next? What's this going to mean? What? So we have to understand that if you think of hidden disabilities, it could be potentially 1 to 6 of the whole population. So it's all of it. It isn't a them and us, it's everybody. And what I would say about Jamcard is if you don't need one now, you will need one sometime in your life. Unless you plan on dying suddenly, we will all acquire some form of disability. So it's that idea of a moment of patience for everybody. And I spend a lot of time explaining to businesses how valuable employees are with diverse brains and diverse talents and diverse abilities. So that has flipped. It used to be, oh, go on, just give them a job, please. Give them a go. Now it's become, this is valuable to your business, and we have to make sure this works well for you and the individual. So that purpose is weaved into everything. If we open a catering business, like Loaf has a new cafe in Cumainham, for instance, and 4 operations in the north. And if we open a business, it has to be, well, who's going to, you know, how do we train people there so that they can get the qualifications to move into work? If we set up a Jamcard business, what's the outcome and impact, not just about output? So that's the bit that I think businesses will struggle with slightly as they start to look at purpose, but it's definitely doable.
Actually, what I love about the jam card, it's actually really simple. It's a simple solution, but yet it just creates that moment of empathy. It almost breeds empathy in when you come across someone with it. But it's just so clever and powerful in its simplicity.
I remember being in a conversation when we started talking about businesses getting involved, and I kept saying, but it's only a card. What is it? What is the product? And then you realize actually it's the only bit, the simplest things are the most useful and the most commercial. So the model with that is that businesses pay to become Jamcard friendly, and we sell training in around inclusion and engagement and support. How to provide excellent customer service externally or internally for people with hidden disabilities, and then anybody can have a Jamcard for free. And that Jamcard movement is expanding across the world, and over the next 3 years, we will move that product globally, which can't do
Brilliant.
palpitations when I say that out loud, but that's the trajectory. And why not? If somebody can have a jam card in Korean or in Cork, why shouldn't they be able to have it in Europe or America or wherever? So yeah, that's the next step.
What are the challenges that you face in living up to your purpose?
There's two challenges, I would say. One is that balance between the numbers and the kind of technical piece of com there's core bits around running an organization that has people, you know, catering businesses, a charity, a company, all that legislative structure that you have to put through, all of the process that happens on that. For instance, I'm just off a call with a finance team around cash flow, you know, a weekly meeting around that. So the systems that happen in an organization as it grows can swamp you and you can forget why you're doing it. You're so into the KPIs and the scorecard and making sure that's balanced and all, sometimes you can forget that in our type of organization, there are no shareholders, and it is, I hate that term, not for profit, but it's for a bigger goal and purpose. So that's always, I always say to people, I have like two brains. Sometimes I have to remember to switch myself back to one of our businesses might not be making the profits that we would want, but there's a reason why we have it. And it's delivering X amount of outcome. So that balance is, that's daily. That's a challenge and an opportunity. The other challenge I would say is doing such a bloody good job and having to beg for funding at times. It's
Yes.
just, I find that probably as we expand and we, you know, you're involved with so many good people in our organization, I'm finding that more and more frustrating. Your growth pace and the delivery and the impact, you have to stop it every now and again to scurry to get core funding to deliver some services. That's why the drive to be more profitable in our businesses has to happen, because the third sector is a difficult sector to be able to have any kind of financial security in. That's in both jurisdictions, I would say. It was certainly more so in the north at the moment, but we're so
Yeah.
small, we're redeveloping in the Republic of Ireland, so that is a challenge. You could
Okay.
do more, but you have to keep checking to make sure that you've got funding there to pay salaries and keep cash flow going in that, which and you know, all businesses have to do that. I'm not wanting people to feel sorry for us. It's the ability to plan past 2 years is the challenge.
And if we could switch to something that is, I suppose, dear to our listeners' hearts, and that's governance. Could you just tell us about the part that governance plays, role of the board, their oversight, I suppose the challenge that you get, because you clearly do, you've already mentioned it. So if you could just tell us a bit about the governance of the Now Group.
I love governance, and people don't normally believe me when I say that because of the kind of entrepreneurial thing. But for me,
Yeah.
this is a different type of leadership role, because this isn't my money and it's not my organization. And I have seen so many relationships and organizations struggle with that between a board and a chief executive, and just that whole idea of who's the boss. And for me, I've always been okay as long as that's clear. I know. So I've gone from an organization that where our board would have been really committee members in the very early days. They would have all been parents. They would have been there because they were interested in their son or daughter, and they had quite a specific focus. And as the organizations, so there would have been a turnover of about maybe 50 to 100,000 at that time. Then as we started to grow and develop and we had to put in structures, it became evident people were getting quite nervous about the responsibility. And at one stage I thought, oh my goodness, everybody is relying on me. I could make any decision and people would agree with it. And that was a concern for me because
Yeah.
it's not my organization and the risk wasn't being managed. And that's no disrespect to the people involved. They were brilliant. They were trailblazers, and that's why we have now. But every organization goes through phases of development, I suppose. So at that time, we brought in a governance consultant to pick the right governance framework around it so that we had a manual, we had a procedures. It was very clear about the levels of delegated authority and how the board worked, and I suppose the job descriptions for the chair and how it works with the committees and the terms of reference. And that was a real relief to me,
Yeah.
because I just thought it is really important that these individuals understand what their responsibility is and what the risk is and the liability as
Yeah.
well, without ending up with no board. So with that structure, and I always would bring in external consultants to help me see it clearly, because it's just like an audit, really. You can't really
Yes.
audit yourself. And once you have that, then there's quite a bit of work around putting the right people around the table with the skills that they need at a level where they're not going to be feeling the need to get into the weeds in operations, but understand how to manage the risk. And I'm very clear that the board's responsibility is to appoint a chief executive and a senior team, set the strategy, agree the work plan for that, and then just make sure it's delivered and manage the risk. And that to me is the best foundation for any organization. We do a lot of work around, I call it, let's have a really open risk register. Let's put everything in it and then put it out. Let's think of risk as a good thing, that if we measure it right and we have the right mitigations, we should be excited about putting things on a risk register rather than trying to avoid putting it on it. Now, it's taken me 20 years to embrace risk registers, in fairness, but I do think when you run a charity, you have a bigger responsibility. And
Yes.
when you're trusted with money, you have to make sure it's managed right. And that's always a balance when you're trying to be entrepreneurial and bring in the right people and do things quick. It's a challenge. But what I always say to board members when they're doing their induction, they have an induction and they have an annual appraisal, just like our staff. And that we have an ROI board and an Irish board as well, and our chairs both. What I always said to them is, I know this is your organization. I expect constructive criticism and challenge. That's what I'm here for. Now, you have to give me time to answer the questions and deliver on it, and we have to be reasonable about what we can expect. But in general, I am there to deliver the plan for the board and manage the risk on their behalf, and report it back to them. So that's my feeling about governance. I also chair a housing association now, and so I love boards. I love that whole idea of, I see them as an orchestra. You know, everybody has their own instrument and their own talents, and they don't need to all be friends, and they certainly don't need to all play the same tune, but they need to know what the music is. And when it starts and ends, and they need to all play their part, and that sounds a bit twee, but I definitely do agree with that, and I love that whole area of getting good people all focused on a purpose.
Thanks, Maeve. It is so heartening to hear someone, who's an entrepreneur like yourself talk so positively about governance and do a little bit of a sales pitch on it.
I'm
So
laughing internally because our quality manager, if she listens to this and think, well. Because normally what happens is I say, oh God, just tell me the worst. Like, what? And then the whole list of all the reasons you can't do something. So I say, well, let's work around this and see
yes.
how we can get it done. So it's always a tension, isn't it? And it
It
should
is,
be.
yeah, a
It's a
healthy
relationship.
tension.
A healthy tension should
Yeah.
be.
So on the Now Group website, you publish what you call your social impact. Could you describe what that is for our listeners and why it's important to shine a light on your social impact?
Yeah, we do an annual social return on investment analysis in our organization. So we have a community interest company called Gauge Impact that does that for organizations. And so we get that done for ourselves as well. And we bring in external consultants who do that under the Gauge umbrella. There is an independent eye. And the idea behind that is to look at cost benefit analysis, I suppose. And the history of that is probably about 15 years ago, we had a bit of a funding crisis. They come in cycles, you know, we have them every now and again. And I went to a financial director of a health trust to ask for money. And I don't even think slide decks were a thing at that time, but I had the great story and we're helping people. And this is a story about this person. And he looked at me in the end and he said, I have no interest in that. I give you this money. What are you going to do with it and what's the return? I couldn't answer.
Yeah.
I was just completely speechless. I don't think it was the right approach for him, but it was the best lesson I ever had because I just thought I will never go into a room again without knowing what difference our money makes. If somebody gives us money, what are we doing with it and what difference does it make? So we got involved in the impact measurement, social return on investment. It doesn't matter really what model you use. It's that idea of having a very clear outcomes framework of saying, what do we want to do and tracking it. The bit with social return on investment that interested me is it puts financial value on it. So we'll look at Green Book and look at proxy. So we'll determine, it's a whole other podcast, but that in fairness, we'll determine, for instance, if a participant comes onto our books and they are in receipt of welfare benefits, how much is that? If they go into a job, how much less of that is a cost to the exchequer and how much of that's additional income into their pocket? So we're looking at whole, I suppose, the economics of
Yes.
supporting people into work, but it also looks at reduced GP intervention, maybe reduced medical interventions, the cost of that, and people just being happier and weller because they're part
Yeah.
of society. So we do that whole analysis and then we look at a figure and we have a target for that annually within our scorecard as well. So at the minute, it's for every £1 or €1 invested in Now Group, we're returning £20 in social value. And
Wow.
that really resonates with businesses. So I've
Yes.
never been in another room where I couldn't answer that question ever. And it really, to be honest, it's a business improvement tool as well because we can see programs that we would deliver that look really good and people really love going to. And on the face of it looks good, but we have to ask that question. So what is it driving the mission? Are people getting qualifications and moving into work? So if not, why are we doing it? So it helps us review to make sure everything we're doing is actually driving the mission. So sometimes it makes us stop things as well as start
Okay.
things. So I would say it's becoming really relevant now because of social value in procurement. In the North, you get 10% of your score in any tender, public sector tender for social value. So every business is struggling with their procurement compliance teams now to try and work out what social value is. So we're ahead of the curve on that. That will be moving to 20% in the North soon, and looks like it's going to be brought in the Republic as well. So it helps us with those metrics as well.
You mentioned your strategy day. What can you share with us about the plans that you have for the future of the Nye Group? It'd be really great to hear what your plans are for south of the border. It'd be great to hear that as well.
Yeah. So we had our strategy day last month. Had it in the dock as well. It was great, great. We always have it in the dock, actually. It just helps the two boards come together. And key to that is having that facilitated. We do an annual check-in, but this was a review of the next 3 years. The stats aren't completely finished yet, so I won't be able to give away the overall figures. But what's very key is the board are absolutely focused on significant growth in the Republic of Ireland, so that we would, within 3 years, have the same size of an organisation in the south as we have in the north. So, the plan would be, I suppose, the trajectory that we would see is that it could actually possibly end up being bigger in the south than the north, just because of population size. And there are plans to look at another venue for the catering, so that'll probably be in Dublin initially, just because of economies of scale and I suppose proximity. We need to look at a production capacity there as well. So kind of looking at possibly partnering with a large corporate that may have a caterer, maybe doing building, have a catering provision, something quite new. Either way, we'll have another local venue. Jamcard is looking at massive growth, so international growth. So we need to invest in a growth plan for that. That'll look at bringing on new staff and focus on export across the world for Jamcard and businesses. Interestingly, for some of your callers, one of the key area would be, I suppose, tech businesses, fintech businesses, and banks. They'd be really, really big customers. So we're already looking at who we're working with across Ireland and headquartered in the States or elsewhere, and how we scale it with those businesses. So that's one of the areas. And then on the services side, we've just appointed a new team. The board agreed to invest in a new team on the employment training side before we've even had the funding in place. So we're investing that ourselves, five new team for the wider Dublin area to start bringing more people on and placing them in work, so that you'll see significant growth there. And then a plan to expand outside Dublin into other cities. And how much the conversation is, how much of that we do quickly by doing it online, and how much of it needs a presence. So we're just in negotiations about a headquarters in Dublin as well, a small headquarters, so we can have that team located there and deliver some services. So Dublin will be a big focus for us for the next 2 years, but we're very aware on that social justice bit that it can't just be Dublin. Other people need a service,
Yes.
and it's how you do that at scale. So yes, they have very, very big ambitions. And I've been instructed that the majority of my focus should be on growing an all island service. And with that, there's work in behind the scenes going on and building, recruiting new members onto the Irish board, and just having that. It's very easy to be a very big fish in a small pond in the north, where you know everybody. It's the
Yes.
connections you need, the
Absolutely.
businesses, the goodwill. We're a very, very new brand in the south. So the door
Yeah.
openers and the connectors are what we needed there. So yeah, that's what's keeping me energized over the
Great.
next 3 years.
We hope our listeners, around Dublin and across the country would look out for you now, actually, now
Well,
Maeve, and look out for Nye Group.
That would be amazing. And even if anybody wants to link in with me on LinkedIn and ask questions, I need to build a network. And I don't know who I don't know. And I suppose even on the Dublin side, the corporate catering delivering for Loaf and is a piece as we're starting to build that up. We just need to fill that sales pipeline. So anybody who's needing catering delivered, we're at the end of the phone or email, or even on the website for that. That's loafcatering.ie. But also, I would be very surprised if there aren't people on the call who could do some support themselves in their own workplace, because this
Yes.
is not an M&A. You know, this isn't
Yes.
there's anything like this I do, there'll be people with
Yeah.
neurodiverse conditions or some form of disability who could do with some support or struggling in some way, and our group can support that in many ways, or we'll know somebody else who can. And the other part is, we all love people who have disabilities, and particularly parents, who maybe just amazes me every time I go somewhere. You see somebody and you think, oh my goodness, they have it all sorted. And then they say, gosh, I can't sleep at night because I'm worried about my son or my daughter. And you don't know what's going
Yes.
on in my house. So that's a bit where that's what we're here for. We'd love to be able to help. So we want more people on our books, more referrals, more participants with disabilities, and more business partners would be the other thing.
Great. So I was going to ask, where can our listeners find out more about your work and the work of the NOW Group?
Yeah, so the NOW Group main website is probably the best place to go. So nowgroup.org. Loaf have just launched a new Irish website, and that's loafcatering.ie.
Okay.
Jamcard is jamcard.org as well, and it's international at the moment. We may need a few different countries for that as well. But overall, the NOW Group one's the best place to start. But I'm on LinkedIn just under Maeve Monaghan. We have our social channels as well. I'd love to just continue this conversation. This is a whole sector of amazing people that I didn't know
Yeah.
existed. So I
Yeah.
just think there's potential there to do more, and certainly keen to talk to businesses who'd be interested in partnerships around that kind of delivering social value or jam card as well. So always keen to talk, Kathy, as you can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're a great talker, Maeve, that's for sure.
If you
Yeah,
stop
and
it,
you're
there's
a
a
great,
problem, as my mom says.
you're a brilliant advocate for you, for your sector and for your organization. And well, that brings us to the end of our discussion. And it's just so inspiring to talk to someone who absolutely lives and breathes their purpose and is clearly so good at it and delivering for all of your stakeholders, businesses, and your participants, and also someone who is so keen on governance. That's brilliant as well. And I wish you and the NOW Group the best of luck, and hopefully I will come across you again.
Oh,
I'm
I
pretty
hope
sure of
so
that.
too. I hope so. And thanks for the platform today, Kathy. It's about just spreading the word. So this really,
Yes.
really helps get to a new audience. So I really appreciate it.
No, thank you for joining us, and I'm sure our listeners will have been inspired today.
I hope so.
And
I hope I chat to them in the future too.
yeah, you never know. So and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in to the Compliance Files podcast brought to you by the Compliance Institute. I do hope that you find the podcast interesting and useful, and we will be very grateful if you would review or rate this podcast. Until the next episode, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Compliance Files. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening to ensure you don't miss out on future episodes.